Last week we heard the first half of the story of the prodigal son, as it is found in the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. The word prodigal is a word that means wastefully extravagant. And so we heard last week of the story of the prodigal son, the younger brother of two, who leaves home with his inheritance, and as the prodigal wastes and squanders his inheritance on all kinds of manner of dissolute things. And when he gets to the very worst spot of his life, where he has nothing to eat and no place to go, he returns home not expecting anything, but his father runs to greet him and welcomes him back with great joy. This week we hear the story of the other brother in the story, the elder son. And I'll pick up reading in verse 25 after we pray together. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. Now the elder son was out in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. And the slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has gotten him back safe and sound." And the older son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was glad to see him go. It's the truth, I admit it. No surprise, really. There was never any love between us, my father's youngest son and me, the older brother. We were just so different, the two of us, right from the very beginning. I was the dutiful son. He never followed through with any of his responsibilities. I behaved like an obedient son should behave. And he never gave a thought to how any of his actions affected the rest of us. I spent my entire life doing everything right, and he spent his doing everything wrong, and he always got away with it. Everything about him angered me. And as the years went by, I got to where I couldn't even stand the sight of him. Yes, I was glad to see him go. When he came to my father and asked for his share of the inheritance, my father gave it to him, though he hadn't earned it, not even one denarius. His gall and even asking for his share of the inheritance when our father was still alive just one more instance of his selfishness, his disregard, his irresponsibility. So I was glad to see him go, glad to be rid of him. His leaving left me as the sole heir of my father's fortune. But even more importantly, it left me as the sole heir of my father's heart. My father's heart, which should have belonged to me, broke right down the middle when that unworthy son left home. The terrible truth of this dawned on me as the months passed by. Day after day, the old man would pause from his work and stare down the road, watching for his youngest son to come back to him. Day after day, he waited. Day after day, the crack in my father's heart deepened when there was no sign of the reckless prodigal son's return. The reports of that young man's despicable behavior trickled back to us. How he squandered the money my father had worked so hard to earn. How he spent every denarius on riotous living, on prostitutes and debauchery. We heard about it all. Have you noticed how people like to lick their lips over every trashy detail of someone's downfall? So the news came back to us with every passerby who traveled through our village, and me, I lapped it up, every sordid and disgusting detail, because I believed that the more that boy proved his worthlessness, the more valuable I would become in my father's eyes, the more my father would love and appreciate me. Instead, with every word of bad news we heard, my father's heart broke even more. He pined away, and his heart just kept filling with love for this son who had left him behind. And that caused my heart to harden more and more until it became like one of the great stone caves in which we bury our dead, and every bit is hollow. I watched the old man gazing off into the distance with that stupid, hopeful look on his face, a face that turned from me no matter how hard I worked, how much I did to win his love, and so my heart turned to stone. I was the last to know when the prodigal son returned. What does that tell you about my place in the family? I was the last to know. I'd spent another long day out supervising the workers in the fields. The sun had beat upon us with relentless fists of heat and blazing light, and I was sweaty and aching as I made my way home. From a distance, I heard music, lively, joyful, dancing kind of music. And I had this ridiculous thought. Perhaps my father was throwing a party for me. Me, the dutiful eldest son who worked so hard, who'd never break his father's heart. My father had never thrown a party for me my entire life. Maybe he had finally given up on that worthless younger son. Maybe he had come to realize how much I meant to him. Yes, what else could it be? A party for me, the wonderful eldest son. I quickened my step as I came close to the house, and I saw the servants rushing about. Some of them, their arms were laden down with baskets of bread and fruit, and some of them were bowing under the weight of the robes they carried, the beautiful embroidered robes that we only got out and wore on the very high holy days. I called one of the servants over, barely suppressing a smile, and I asked him, so what's going on? What's all the fuss about? And he said, "Your brother has returned, and your father is throwing him a grand party." My stone heart sank to the bottom of my soul. I turned and walked away from the home which I could no longer call home if he was there. I heard footsteps coming up from behind me, and then the pleading voice of my father calling out to me, "Wait, wait," he said, "please come back." And as he caught up to me, I froze, and I would not even look at him as he begged me to come to that party, the party he was throwing to celebrate the return of his beloved youngest son. When he said that, I turned to him and I looked him in the eye and I said, "How dare you? How dare you? This son of yours has wasted everything you ever gave him. He has despised you. He has trashed your name, and you throw him a party? I have worked like a slave for you. I have done everything to honor your name, and you never did anything like this for me." My father waited patiently and let me say everything I needed to say. And when he reached his hand out to touch me on the shoulder, I pushed it away. And then he spoke again. "Son," he said to me in a voice that was gentle but strong, "son, I have always loved you. And everything that belongs to me belongs to you. Nothing will ever change that. But we have to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and he is alive. He was lost and has been found." It was those four words that caught me off guard. "This brother of yours." And suddenly I realized how hardened and dark my soul had become. I couldn't even call him my brother anymore. I had never seen him as a fellow human being, but only as a rival for my father, our father's love. The look in my father's eye nearly killed me. There was such love there. Love, not just for my brother, but for me. All along there had been love enough for both of us, his two sons. And yet I had refused to see this, so caught up was I in earning what already belonged to me. What had always belonged to me. How had I never seen that before? My brother had broken my father's heart, but so had I. So had I. I broke my father's heart every time I turned from my brother, every time I let anger take the place of grace. I broke my father's heart every time I tried to earn his love, as if I didn't trust him, as if his love in and of itself wasn't enough. I broke my father's heart every time I looked at my life with that sour spirit, refusing to take delight in the gift of every day. I broke my father's heart time and time again, and yet, my father came looking for me. It was not just my brother he was ready to welcome home. It was me. It was me. I am the prodigal son in this story, not my brother. Me. I am the one, the son who squandered the wealth of his father's love. I am the son who wasted all those years with pettiness and jealousy and that stone-cold heart. I am the son who trashed his life, who needed to be welcomed home. I am the prodigal son who nearly lost it all, if not for my father coming to find me. I would never have gone home. But in my father's house, there are many rooms, rooms enough for all. In my father's house are many rooms for my brother and for me and for you. He has prepared a room for every one of us. And he has come to find us. He has come to show us the way, to welcome us home. You pray with me? Lord, we are the prodigal sons and daughters, the ones who squander your love, the ones who refuse to believe that you could love us so much. Lord, help us to find our way home to you, to know that you have love enough for all of us and love enough to share. Lord, help us to find our way home to you. For these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and let all God's people say, Amen.